Today's daf is Rosh Hashanah daf Chav Vav. We left off on the bottom of daf Chav Hey Amud Beis. So we're going to talk about when Beis and sees the moon themselves, what exactly they do about Kiddush HaChodesh, about how they can become the Eidim for Kiddush HaChodesh. They themselves saw the new moon, and that's going to lead into a discussion of Eid Nasa Dayan. If a person was an Eid to something, can he then become a Dayan? Then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to talk about which Shofros are Kasher, that all Shofros are Kasher, Chutz Mishal Paro, except for Paro, according to the Tanakhama, and the Gemara is going to have three explanations why the Rabbanim think that a Shofar Shel Para is Pasul. The second of the three explanations of why we think Shofar Shel Para is Pasul is going to have to do with Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor, which is a major sugi of the daf, but the idea that we can't take something that was a negative, that was something that was used for an Avera, and then try to use it to find favor in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, going over through half of Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to try to find the translation of different words, 12 different words that they originally were not sure what they meant, and then they discovered the translation in a variety of ways, either based on just the way people spoke, or some of them from the Amsa Debei Rebbe that they learned from Rebbe's maidservant, the way that she spoke, her Sichas Chulin revealed very often what exactly a lot of these words meant. And then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about whether we need a bent shofar or a straight shofar, and for Yovel, for Tainios, and for Rosh Hashanah. So let us begin. We left off at the two dots on Daf Chaf Hei Amud Beis, where we said, Ra'u Beis Din Yamdu Shnayim V'yidu Bifneim, about five lines before the lines get very wide. That if Beis Din themselves saw the new moon, so what they do is they have two members of the Beis Din get up and serve as the Eidim. So, Frekli Gemara V'amai, why do they need any members of the Beis Din to get up and serve as the Eidim? Beis Din already knows, they already saw the new moon. Lote Shmia Gedola Meri'ia. See, hearing it from Eidim is certainly not going to be greater than having seen it themselves. What they saw themselves with their own eyes is going to be the ultimate source of their knowledge. So why do they need to hear it from Edim? Amar Bizeru Gon Shiru'u Belaila. So Bizeru explains that they saw it, but they saw it at night. And you can't have a Kiddush HaChodesh that's based entirely on what happens at night, because there's no Kiddush HaChodesh at night. So they need to be Mekabel Eidos during the day, so that the Kiddush HaChodesh is happening during the daytime. Ra'u Shlosha Vehein Beis Din Yamdu Shnayim V'yoshuvu Mechavrei Meitzal Yachid. Mishnah said that if three people saw it, but the three people are members of Beis Din, so then what they need to do is take two of those members of Beis Din, have them disqualify themselves as members of Beis Din for this case, and put two new people into the Beis Din, so that you can have three members of Beis Din, and two of the original members of Beis Din who saw it will serve instead as the Eidim. So, shouldn't we say the same thing over here, the Lotei Shmir Gedolah Miri'ia, that if the members of the Beis Din themselves saw it, why do they then have to hear it? So, and if you're going to say the same answer, then maybe the case over here is where they saw it at nighttime, which is very reasonable to assume that they saw it at nighttime. It's the moon. So we're talking about that they saw it at nighttime. Well, hainu hach. Well, then what's the chiddush of this line? We already learned that if they saw it at nighttime, you still need to do an edus, and you can't just have the Beis Din be mekadesh the chodesh without the benefit of edus, because that's like being mekadesh the chodesh at night. Says Mar Seifa Tzrichalei. Now there's a chiddush in the Seifa, De'ein ha-yachid ne'eman al yedei atzmo. The chiddush in the Seifa is, of course you're going to need edus. That's not a chiddush. Of course you can need edus during the day, because you can't have the Kiddush HaChodesh happening based on what happens at night. The chiddush of the Seifa is that you need to add two dayanim. You might have thought that just if three members of Beis Din saw it, have two of the members of Beis Din serve as the Eidim, and have the one serve as the Dayan. Who says we need to make three Dayanim, that we need to draft two new members of the Beis Din onto the Beis Din? The Salkadai Techamina, because we would have had a Havamina, that whole Vitanya, since it says in the Braisa that Dine Mamnus Beshlosha, that although generally speaking we do need three Dayanim to serve as on a Beis Din for Dine Mamnus, but if Haya Mumchel Rabim Dana, the halach is that if you have someone who's an expert, who's a recognized expert in Dine Mamunus, then it can be done even all alone. You're not going to need you're not going to need three members. So I might think the same thing is true with Kiddush HaChodesh. If you have one expert judge, let him be the judge. You don't need three judges. That's why it has to tell me that we do have we do need three judges. But Vemachinami, that Havamina sounded pretty good. If by Dine Mamunas Talach is you only need one expert judge, why is it Taka that by Kiddush HaChodesh you need three judges? Shouldn't one judge be enough? Say, answers the Gemara, because we derive Kiddush HaChodesh from Moshe Rabbeinu. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe Rabbeinu to be Mekadosh HaChodesh. And in Lecha Mumcha L'Rabim Be Yisrael, Yosir Mi Moshe Rabbeinu. One would imagine that there was never a greater expert in anything than Moshe Rabbeinu. V'kamala, not one would imagine. We know, it's one of the Ikari Hamuna, that there is no one had greater clarity in Torah than Moshe Rabbeinu. So V'kamala HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adika Aron Ba'adach. And the Hashem said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, you cannot be Mekadosh L'Chodesh unless Aaron is together with you. I misspoke. It's not really, in Ikar HaEmunah, it's not that no one had greater clarity in Torah. It's that there was never a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe received the entire Torah b'nevuah, word for word. Obviously, it's Arav Shavuos, so let's try to get this right. Moshe received the entire Torah word for word, but the Gemara does tell us that on a certain level, Rabbi Akiva's shir was above Moshe Rabbeinu said, because Rabbi Akiva was Doris the Tagin of the Osios, but the accuracy of word for word of the Torah, since Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was bas baklaria mi'ira, was the clearest possible nevuah, so the accuracy of each and every word of the Torah is an ikar ha'amuna. So a lot of the ikar ha'amuna relate to the transmission of Torah and to the nevuahs of Moshe Rabbeinu. But anyway, as great an expert as Moshe Rabbeinu was, as great a Talmud Chacham as he was, as great as an expert he was in Kiddush HaChodesh, Aaron had to join with him in order to be Mekadosh L'Chodesh. Tichsiv Yomer Hashem El Moshe Ve'El Aaron Be'eretz Mitzrayim Le'mar HaChodesh Zelechem. So you see clearly that a Yachin Mumcha is not going to work for Kiddush HaChodesh. Now Tosfos points out, so how do we see you need three? Moshe and Aaron only two. So Tosfos points out, Vein Bezin Shakel Mosifin Alein Or Echad. Well, you know you can't have two members of a Bezin. Obviously, if there's going to be a Bezin, it's going to have to be three. The Tashbetz explains the Limud that certainly it's coming to tell us that Moshe and Aaron are kosher l'kiddush hachodesh, because the Gemara says Atu Moshe Aaron Milo Mehemni El Gzeres Melech. So it's a Gzeres Melech that they're kosher for kiddush hachodesh even though they're krovim. What the Gemara means to say is that since kiddush hachodesh is called a mishpat and by dine mamnas a yachin mumcha is kosher, so yachin mumcha should be kosher for kiddush hachodesh as well. So the Gemara says no, we cannot be machshir yachin mumcha for kiddush hachodesh because there was never a greater yachin mumcha than Moshe Rabbeinu, and nevertheless he's still not allowed to do it by yachidus. So the point is that if Moshe Rabbeinu cannot be mekadosh l'chodesh by yachidus, so we see that kiddush hachodesh becomes like other dinim mamonos where it's called a mishpat, and by other dinim mamonos if there's no yachin mumcha you need three. Meaning it's like a case where there's no yachin mumcha. It's not based on ein beis and shakel that the Torah says we need two. Ein beis and shakel you need three. That's how Tosfos says. Tashbei says no. It's that once we see that the pasuk is telling us that Moshe Rabbeinu is disqualified, the only other option is three. It's nothing to do with ein beis and shakel. That there are two options by dinim mamonos. The two options by dinim mamonos are either three or a yachin mumcha. From the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is not kosher, you see that a yachin mumcha is not one of the options over here. So mela, you need three. That's just automatically what's going to come out. Good. So the Tashbetz also points out that Moshe and Aaron l'choro shouldn't be able to mitzarif anyway with each other because they're krovim. So the Pnei Yeshua says that they're krovim, but this was before Matan Torah, and maybe that's why they're able to be mekadosh the chodesh. The pasuk is the that they have to be mekadosh with mumchim like them, but krovim cannot be mekadosh the chodesh in the future. Maybe that's why it was kosher the first time with krovim with Moshe and Aaron because it was Kodem Matan Torah. That's a Daf Yomi coincidence as we speak the day before Matan Torah, Kodem Matan Torah. Okay, so says Gemara, Lemeimer De'ed Nasadayan. Do you mean, so not, this is not a question, Lemeimer De'ed Nasadayan. We see in our Mishnah the fact that that you have the Dayanim becoming Edim, so you see that someone who witnessed an event and is therefore an aid to the event can still be a Dayan. Because what happened? You had three members of a Beis Din that all saw something. two of them go and become the Edim, and one of them remains a Dayan. So you see that an aid is not a Dayan. Someone who witnessed an event and is therefore ra'ui to be an aid can still serve as a Dayan. So Lema Masnisan to look Rabbi Akiva, that seems like our mission is against Rabbi Akiva. Titania, because the Brisa says as follows, Sanhedrin Sharau Echot Chargas and Nefesh, if a Sanhedrin saw, witnessed a murder, Miksasa Nasu Edim, Miksasa Nasu Dayanim, Div Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says, fine, let some of the members of the Sanhedrin serve as the Edim, others serve as the Dayanim, and we'll be able to try the capital case. Rabbi Akiva Omer Kula Na'asim Edim. Rabbi Akiva says, no, they all become Edim because they all witnessed it. Ve'ein Eid Na'as Dayan, and an Eid cannot become a Dayan. Once you witness an event, you cannot be a Dayan on that event. So you see that our Mishnah is against Rabbi Akiva because our Mishnah talks about Dayanim who saw the new moon, and therefore they were ra'i to be Edim on the new moon, and still they're allowed to serve as Dayanim. And Sigmar Afilutem Rabbi Akiva. No, even Rabbi Akiva could agree with our Mishnah, because I can't look on Rabbi Akiva Hasam El B'dinu Nefashos. Maybe it's only over there by Dinu Nefashos that Rabbi Akiva says someone who witnessed a murder is not allowed to serve as a Dayan for that murder case. Rachman Amar V'shaftu Eida V'yitzilu Eida, because the Pasuk says V'shaftu Eida V'yitzilu Eida, which teaches us that we should do whatever we can to try to get the person off the hook when it comes to the murder. V'kivin D'chazyu D'kalta Nafsha Lo Matzu Chazal Eizuchusa. But how's a Dayan going to be able to see things? If he himself witnessed the murder, if he saw the murder, he's never going to be able to be melamed zuchus on the defendant. So that's the dafka din by dinin nefashos in vihitzilu eida, that we don't want anyone who witnessed the case to serve as a dayan for dinin nefashos. Avlacha afilu Rabbi Akiva moda, but maybe over here when it comes to kiddush hachodesh, even Rabbi Akiva will be moda that someone who witnessed the event could still serve as a dayan for kiddush hachodesh. Now Tosus raises the point that the Gemara Maseches Makos also has this drasha that you're not allowed to have someone who witnessed the event serve as a dayan on the case, but it learns it from an entirely different pasuk. Tosfos points out, Tamud Parakelu and Agol and Nafkele Mikra Achrina Da Amar Minayin L'Sanedrin Sharo Bechot Chargas Nefesh Shein Horgunosad Sheyamud Bebeis Din Tamalomar Adam Dulfnei Eidel L'Mishpat, that it says Adam Dulfnei Eidel L'Mishpat, that you need to have a proper case of with proper judges. You can't just see it and then serve as the witnesses and the judges. So don't we learn it from a different pasuk? So it says Tosfos Yeshlomer the Ikur Drash. You're right. The Gemara over there, that's the real pasuk we learn this halacha from. What V'yitzilu Eida adds is that din that we derive from that other pasuk, that people who witnessed the event cannot serve as dayanim, V'yitzilu Eida limits that halacha to dinei nefashos. So it's the two drashas working in concert with each other. That's the primary drasha, that someone who witnessed it cannot serve as the Dayan. That's the drasha that the Gemara says in Makos. And over here, V'yitzilu Eida just tells us that this only applies to cases of dinei nefashos. It doesn't apply to any other cases. Now, the Rishonim write that if you look in the Gemara, Maseches Ksubos, the Gemara is medayik from our Mishnah that aid ein na'as a Dayan, that an aid cannot become a Dayan. In the same Mishnah, the Gemara looks at and says, you see that an aid cannot become a Dayan, because if an aid could become a Dayan, why would you need to draft new members onto the Sanhedrin, onto this Beis Din? You had three members of Beis Din that saw the Kiddush HaChodesh, so he said, okay, two of them will disqualify themselves from the case, become the Edim, and you'll get two new guys to be the Dayanim. Why? Why don't you have two of them be the Edim and also be the Dayanim? If Eid Nas a Dayan, if an Eid can be a Dayan, so let them be Meir themselves, and then they'll sit together with the other Dayanim, and they'll be Mekadish the Chodesh. So it sounds like since after they're Meir, they become Edim, they can no longer become Dayanim. So you see, Ein Eid Nas a Dayanim, not Nas a Dayan. So it's a stira in the Diuk from our Mishnah. Our Gemara is Medayik that Eid Nas a Dayan, and the Gemara over there is Medayik that Ein Eid Nas a Dayan. So the Rishonim point out what the obvious answer is that the term Eid Nas a Dayan means different things in the two places. Meaning over there it's talking about someone who's actually functioning as an aid in this case to also function as a Dayan in this case. That you're not allowed to do. That our mission is very clear. Ein Eid Nas a Dayan. Once you put on the aid hat, you cannot put on the Dayanus hat. You cannot actually serve as a Dayan in this case. What our Gemara is talking about is not that. What our Gemara is talking about is someone who was Ro'oi Lihios Aid. Someone who could have been an aid because he actually saw the event, but never actually served as an aid, that such a person can serve as a dayan. Since he never put on that eidos hat, even though he was an eid haroeh, he did witness the event, but he never tried to be an aid. So someone who never actually functioned as an aid is allowed to be a dayan. So that's just a simple ha'ara that the Rishonim make, that you can't, a lot of times, this is one of the things the Ravid writes, that just like their Yud Gimel Midos, Shad Torah Shebichsav Nidreshes Ben, that we read every day, Rabbi Shmuel Lomer, their Yud Gimel Midos, he has, as Rav Shapka calls it, a gimmick, a good way to catch your attention. He has Yud Gimel Midos, Shad Torah Shebal Pen Nidreshes Ben. And one of the Yud Gimel Midos, Shad Torah Shebal Pen Nidreshes Ben, is that you'll see the same exact phrase in two different places in Shas, but it will mean entirely different things. Or you'll see two different phrases in different places in Shas, and it actually means exactly the same thing. With Torah Shebal Pen, that's just the way it works. So Eid Nasa Dayan, Eid Nasa Dayan, it doesn't necessarily mean the same thing in both places. Like the word Chazaka is the classic example. The word Chazaka means five entirely different things in five different contexts in Shas. So that's just the way the Torah Shebal Pen works. That's why a person still needs to be a Talmud Chacham. It's not enough to have a Bar Ilan CD to be able to do a computer search. You still need to know something until the computers get smart enough, and then they'll figure it out. But until then, we still need to know things once in a while. So the Gemara says that even Rabbi Akiva would be moda in our case. Good, new Mishnah, the Chavav Amral, new Mishnah. Kol ha-shofros ksherim, all shofros are kosher to use for Rosh Hashanah, for the mitzvah of shofar Rosh Hashanah, chutz mishal parah mneishu keren, except for the shofar of a parah, except for the horn of a cow, because that's not called a shofar, that's called a keren, it's not called a shofar. Amar Rabbi Yossi, v'alo kol ha-shofros nekru keren. Rabbi Yossi says, what are you talking about? All shofros are called a keren. Shnem Rabbi Mshoch b'keren ayovel. So we see that all shofros are referred to as a keren. If you look at Tosos, chutz mishal parah, v'adlo katani nami, chutz mishal re'im, dishal re'im nami yikri keren d'chsev karni re'im karnav uksev karni ramim anisani. So we do find that re'im is also called a keren and not a shofar. So why doesn't our Mishnah say, according to the Tanakhama, that all shofars are kosher chutz mishal para vishal re'im? Why does it only say chutz mishal para? So he says v'shema einum chalulim ve'einum ru'im l'shofar. It could be that the horns of a re'im are anyway not hollow enough to be used as a shofar. They can't emit any sound. So therefore, it doesn't need to tell me that you can't use shofar shel re'im, because obviously you can't use it. It's not usable. It's not something that they possibly could use in the first place. The Ramban raises a suffix over here. We say, kol ha-shofros k'sher, all the shofars are kosher, except for shofar shel para. How inclusive is that kol? The Ramban says, what about a shofar of a behema tameya? What if you have a shofar of a non-kosher animal? Would we say that that's kosher as well? The Gemara Maseches Shabbos of Chav Chasam Beis says that from Melecha Shemayim, we only allow a behema tahura. For tefillin, the leather we make our tefillin with, it's dafka got to come from a kosher animal. From melecha shemayim, we only use a behema tahura. So maybe by a shofar, we say it's melecha shemayim, and therefore we should only use a behema tahura. And if it's from a behema tameya, it's not kosher. The ran is docha the rai, because the sugin Shabbos sounds like even for the Mishkan, for the Mishkan itself, we don't use this halacha. We're not ein lemeidin men aklalos. We don't learn from rules. And this rule is not something that's always true. There are exceptions to this rule. The Ran proves from the Mishkan itself. Magen Avraham says, no, you can prove from this rule. There are exceptions, but whenever there's an exception, there's a drasha to tell me that it's an exception. So otherwise, the natural assumption should be that you do need a kosher animal. But anyway, that's the suffix of the Ramban, whether you need a kosher animal. The Rash Beitz asks that anyways, a keren is a siman tahara of an animal. The Gemara Nida says in Gemara Nechulin, Kol sheyesh lo karnayim yesh lo talpayim, and the Gemara derives that if it has a keren, that's a good bet that it's a kosher animal. So you're not going to have a keren on a behemoth tameya. So what kind of suffix is the Ramban raising? Whether you're allowed to use a shofar of a non-kosher animal, it simply doesn't exist, a shofar of a non-kosher animal. So the Achronim have all sorts of different terutz in the Baragol suggest that we're talking about a behemoth tameya. There are Mishnayos and Chulin like this and Bechoros, that a behemoth tameya that's molid kemin behemoth tahora. You have a horse that gives birth to something that looks like a cow. So it's some sort of mutation or whatever, but it looks like a cow. So it has horns, but it's actually not kosher because it's yotze min hatameh, and that which is yotze min hatameh is tameh. That which comes out of a non kosher animal has a din of a behemoth tameh. So Magen Avraham suggests no, that karnayim are a siman tahara on a chaya, but not in a behemoth. So if you could have a behemoth that's not kosher that has horns, you just can't have a chaya that's not kosher that has horns. And others suggest other achronim give a different suggestion. The Shoel and the Chavos Yair suggest that maybe if it has two horns, it's a siman tahara. But if it only has one horn, if it's a unicorn or something, so then it's not a siman tahara. Then you can have a shofar of an animal that's actually a non kosher animal. So what do we paskin halacha? Can you have a shofar of a non kosher animal? The Rama paskins shofar of behemoth tmeah is pasul. The Rama paskins siman tavkuf peivav that a shofar of behemoth tmeah is pasul. The Yaakov Emden, many of the Achronim say that he only says that misafik, since the Ramban was misubik about it, so misafik were machmir not to have a shofar of behemoth tmeah. Rav Zilberstein, Chashuk Echemet, discusses a wild case. He says, L'fnei kishloshim shana, about 30 years ago, nisparsim sharofim gadu zug karnayim begodal arboim centimeter shetzamchu la'adam. That there was a famous case apparently 30 years ago where a baby was born with horns, and the doctors had to take off the horns to make the baby look normal. So Rav Zilberstein says, is a kosher for shofar? Can you use such horns as a shofar? So it would be the coolest shofar ever, right? But as a kosher. So the halacha is that Rama says from behemoth to meah is not okay. So he says, l'chora, this is tali on what you hold about cannibalism. What you hold the nature of the iser of eating a human being is that it's machlokas rishonim according to minchas chinuch and mitzvah taf lamed zayin. That if a person eats basar adam, if he's over ba'asei, so therefore it's not called mina mutar b'ficha, it's not called something that's kosher. But rov poskim hold that there is no isser mina Torah to eat human flesh. And if there's no isser mina Torah to eat human flesh, then it would be mina mutar b'ficha, mela, it would be a kosher animal, and therefore the shofar would be kosher. But the Adaras says, in his Sefer Chashbono Shel Mitzvah, disagrees with the Minchas Chinuch. He says, even according to the poskim, that basar adam is mutar b'achila, it's not called mutar b'ficha, because it's not omed la'achila. So you wouldn't call it mutar b'ficha, even though technically it may not be an iser, because it's not something that would ever be omed la'achila. Okay, so the Gemara says, Shapir kamar Rabbi Yossi. We had a machlokas in the Mishnah, whether a shofar shel para is the only, whether kol shofar is because it's called the Karen, or do we say no, par is just like any other animal because all the shofars are called the Karen? So Rabbi Yossi seems to have a good point that B'mshoch B'Karen Ayovel seems to tell us that all shofars are called the Karen. Why should we single out para to be different? So there are going to be three explanations why the Rabbanan single out para to be different. So number one, Rabbanan call the shofars ikru shofar v'ikru Karen. All of the shofars are called both shofar and Karen. How do I know that they're called shofar? So Rashi points out, Dichsiv b'matan Torah. It says by matan Torah, that counts as real daf yomi kvin. So it says by matan Torah, b'mishoch hayovel, ksiv ayi kol shofar. We learn it from the kol shofar by matan Torah. So all other shofars are called both shofar and Karen. De para, Karen ikri, shofar lo ikri. But a cow's horn is only called a Karen, it's not called a shofar. And that's why a cow's horn is disqualified. Dichsiv b'chor shor Rabbi Yossi, Amalach, Rabbi Yossi would respond to the Rabbanan, the Paranami Yikru Shofar. No, Shofar of a Para is also called a Shofar. It's not only called a Karen. Dichsiv, Vatetav Lashem, Mishor Par. Imshar Lama Par, Vimpar Lama Shar. Why does it say Shor Par? Elamai Shor Par, Mishofar. Shor Par tells us it's called Shofar. It's a combination of the two words, spells out Shofar. And that's what Rabbi Yossi says. You see that even though we're talking about a Para, it's called a shofar, not just a Karen. V'Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan would respond, Kidrav Masna, Tamra Masna, my shor par, shu gadol kepar. No, shor par is not to be read shofar. Shofar means that it's gadol kepar, that it's as big as a bull. So that's one explanation of why the Rabbanim disqualify a shofar shel para, because it's never called shofar, it's only called keren. Second explanation, ula amar hainu tami de Rabbanan. The real reason the Rabbanim say shofar shel para is no good is kedrav chista, dam rav chista mnei ma'in kohen gadol nichnas bebig de zav lefnai v'lefnim lavod avoda. Why is it that the kohen gadol is not allowed to wear his big day zav on Yom HaKippurim to do the avodah? Lefishein kategor nasa senegar, because that which served to prosecute the Jewish people should not come to serve to protect the Jewish people. And gold brings back bad memories for Klal Yisrael, because we have the egel azav always in the back of our minds, and we don't want to raise that with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't want to bring that up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a day that we need kapara lefnai v'lefnim. So we leave the big day zav out of lefnai v'lefnim, out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So therefore, we also don't use a shofar shalpara, because if you use a shofar shalpara, it will recall the egel azav and in kateger nasa senegar. We don't want to use the egel. We don't want to use anything that's reminiscent of the egel azav. So, frankly, Gemara, do we never use a cow in the base of Mikdash? V'lo v'yika dam par. We use the dam of a par. So, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself, so it says Gemara, hol v'yishtani yishtani. Yeah, once it's just the dam, it's not in its original form of a par. So then it doesn't bring to mind the cheda egel. But there's plenty of gold in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You have the Aron, you have the cover to the Aron, you have the Kruvim. All of those things are made out of gold. So how can you say that we leave the big day Zav out? Because Ven Kategor Nas Senegar, we have Zav in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Chote Bal Yakrav Kamrinan. So the Gemara answers, yeah, but those are stationary. No one's bringing them in. When we talk about the Kohen Gadol actually going in and doing the Avodah, you shouldn't go in with big day Zav, because he is a member of Klal Yisrael who represents the Chotim, especially the Kohen Gadol represents Aaron HaKohen, who had a critical role in the Egel Azav. So that person specifically should not do an act of bringing gold in. Ve'ika kafu machta, but he's bringing in the kafu machta, he's bringing in the shovel, the spoon, with the ketores, that's also gold. So chote bal yisna kamrinan. No, but that's not something of kavod. It says he shouldn't get glory and enjoy the privilege and the kavod of gold. The garments are something that give him a certain sense of kavod, a certain sense of glory. A shovel just is a way to hold ketores and the way to hold the coals. So ve'ika big day zahav mi bachutz. But wait a second, we do wear big day zahav mi bachutz. The Kohen Gadol does have big day zahav that he wears outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why isn't that a problem? Ve'in kategor nasa senegar. And so Gemara mi bifnim kamrinan, because we're talking about bifnim. We're talking about in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's a problem. Well, if it's only a problem in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, shofar nami mi bachutzu. Well, when we blow the shofar, we do it here in North Woodmere. We're not blowing the shofar lifnai v'lifnim. So why can't I use the shofar shel para if I want to blow the shofar outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Answers the Gemara, kivin de lezikaron hu kibifnim dami. Since the shofar is lezikaron, it's meant to be a form of tefillah, to cause the Kodesh Baruch Hu to want to respond to us in the affirmative and positive, so it's considered lifnai v'lifnim. The Achronim explained that it's based on the Gemara that when we daven, we always face toward the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We always face in the direction, we face Mizrach, because we're facing toward the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and it's not Stam that we're facing there. Our tefillos go derech sham. That's how our tefillos work. It has to go through the area of the Kodesh HaKadoshim to go up to Shemayim. So if the shofar is viewed as a tefillah, if the shofar is viewed as a vehicle of tefillah, so the shofar also has to go through the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So kilifnim dami is in a very literal sense. It actually is lifnim. It actually goes lifnim. That's how it passes through to get up to Shemayim. So if Soloveitchik pointed out that the idea of shofar as tefillah is very clear in a lot of Gemaras in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says that the sounds of the shofar are supposed to mimic crying. They're supposed to mimic a baby crying. Why would we want to mimic crying? A mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. Do we mimic crying when we eat matzah? Why would we mimic crying when we take lulav? Why would we mimic crying when we're blowing shofar? Because shofar is supposed to be a tefillah. It's the kind of tefillah when we don't have the words to formulate, to express the full emotion and the magnitude of the moment. So we use a shofar which represents just the crying, the sobbing that we're doing to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that that's why the shofar is blown dafka right in the middle of Shemona Esrei. How are you allowed to be mafsik in the middle of Shemona Esrei to stam do a mitzvah? In the middle of Shemona Esrei, you don't take lulav and you don't eat matzah and you don't do any other mitzvahs in the middle of Shemona Esrei. How can you blow shofar in the middle of Shemona Esrei? No, it's because shofar is tefillah. So if shofar is tefillah, so it's not a hefsik, it's part of the tefillah. It's part of how we daven Takarosh Baruch Hu. So it's a great explanation of why the Rabbanan say shofar shalpar is no good, but it's not the explanation the Rabbanan gave. The Rabbanan in the Mishnah said why shofar shalpar is no good. The Tana of the Mishnah said explicitly that the reason it's no good is because it's a keren. How can you suggest that it's because of Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegar? So says Marachadava Udkamer. Tana of the Mishnah meant to say that there are two reasons that the Rabbanan disqualify a shofar shalpara. Chada Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegar. First of all, it's Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegar. Va'od Bepreshu Karen. And second of all, it's because it's a keren. Rabbi Yossi Amalach, and Rabbi Yossi would respond to both, and he would say, Dekamer Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegar. As far as Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegar, that's not an issue because that's only an issue mibefnim, and the shofar is mibechutz. Udkamim neshu keren, kol haShofros nami yikru keren. And you say that it's called the keren, well, all the shofaros are also called the keren. So that's how Rabbi Yossi would respond to both of those tainos of the Rabbanan. Now we do have the concept of Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegar in a number of different places. Although the Talmud Bavli, when it talks about a lulav hagazel, the Talmud Bavli says the problem with lulav hagazel is mitzvah babavera. The Yerushalmi calls it ein kategor nasa sneger. That the problem with using a stolen lulav is ein kategor nasa sneger. How can you use a stolen lulav ein kategor nasa sneger? Shachtel points out that what the Yerushalmi is telling us is that ein kategor nasa sneger is to take a cheftza shel avera and use it for the mitzvah. That's the same thing as mitzvah babavera. Take a cheftza shel avera and to use it for the mitzvah. But Shachtel points out in the Chida also points this out, that there are different types of Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegar, meaning our Gemara says that Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegar is only a problem bifnim. A lulav, you're not doing bifnim. So one could argue a lulav is a derech tefillah, you're using it as part of the tefillah, but still, the Gemara never says that. The Gemara says it about shofar, kilofnim dami. It never says lulav is kilofnim dami. So how come a lulav, we would apply Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegar and wouldn't apply it by anything else that's not bifnim? So Rav Shachter points out in Eretz HaTzvi, the Chida points this out as well, that there are two types of Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegar. There's Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegar where you're using something that's reminiscent of an Avera, and there's Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegar where we're using something that was actually used for an Avera. When you're using something that's only reminiscent of an Avera, so that's only a problem lefnai v'lefnim. So you're going to bring Big Day Zav. This Big Day Zav that the Kohen Gadol is wearing was not the Egel HaZav. It's just a reminder of the Egel HaZav. The Shofar Shalpara is not the Egel HaZav. It's a reminder of the Egel HaZav. It's a reminiscent of the Egel HaZav. That's only a problem lefnai v'lefnim. But when you're using the actual item itself, a lulav hagazel, you're using the actual stolen lulav. So that's that you can't even do b'chutz. And that's how he explains also the halacha is the Gemara in Bracha says that a kohen shargas a nefesh lo yisa kapav, that a kohen who kills somebody is not allowed to do chun anymore, he's not allowed to do birchas kohanim, and tells us and points out that nesias kapayim because he killed ein kategor nasa sanegar, he cannot do the birchas kohanim because it's a violation of ein kategor nasa sanegar. But that's only a problem lefnai v'lefnim. But again, if it's these same hands that actually killed, so you're actually using the Chafetz Shalaveri, using that which you killed with to do the mitzvah, it's not just something that's reminiscent. In Shabbos Tav Pei Zayin Amar Aleph, the Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos Midaito, on his own will he broke the Luchos, and Kosh Baruch was Maskam Al Yado. And we learn from there, Asher Shibarta, Kosh Baruch was Maskam Al Yado. The Ramban and the Ritva say that it's not from this Drasha Asher Shibarta that we say that Kosh Baruch was Maskim. Rather, how do we know Kosh Baruch was Maskim to Moshe breaking the Luchos? Because where did Hashem tell him to do with those broken Luchos? You put them in the Aron and leave them in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. How could you take something that's reminiscent of an Avera, of something bad, that Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos if he wasn't supposed to do it, and leave it in the Aron, Lefnai V'Lefnim? The fact that you're putting it in the Aron, Lefnai V'Lefnim, that must be an indication that it's positive. So you see that they use the concept, Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegar, that you wouldn't be able to put it in if it actually was the Kategor. But wait a second, the Aron itself, we said, that we don't apply in Kateganas Negor to the Aron itself because it's stationary. No one's putting it there, it's just staying there. So why don't you say the same thing with the Shivri Luchos, that it's just stationary? But no, the Shivri Luchos, if it was an Avera, this is the Chefta Shel Avera itself. It's not just something that's reminiscent of an Avera. For some reason, Rav Asher Weiss has a piece on Kateganas Negor in Simon Hay in his Minchas Hashem on the Moadim, and he raises all of these cases where we apply in Kateganas Negor Bachutz, outside, and he doesn't come up with this answer. He just says, it must be, it's just a melitza. It's not really the real in Kateganas Negor. L'chor, Rav Shechter's Vard is very, it's glatt, it really works. That in all these cases, we're talking about the actual Chafza Shel Avera, it's an entirely different type of in Kateganas Negor. Okay, says the Gemara further now, a third possibility of what the Rabban were thinking. Abayu Amar Hainu Tamay the Rabban. Abayu will say the Rabban were thinking the following. Shofar Amar Rachman of Loshayim Shalosh Shofaros. The reason you can't use Shofar Shel Paros is because the Pasuk says Shofar, and you're not allowed to use multiple shofaros, and the way a cow's horn grows apparently is v'had the parak even the kai gildi mischazi kishnayim shlosh shofaros, that it grows in layers, the cow's horn, and therefore it looks like two or three shofaros. V'atanam neshu karen kamar, that's a nice explanation, but that's not what the Tana said. The Tana said in the Mishnah that the reason the Rabbanan disqualify shofar shofaros because it's not called a it's called a karen, it's not called a shofar. So chad v'od kamar, he means to say both chad the shofar echad am rachman v'loshayim shlosh shofaros. The logic of the Rabbanan is for both of these reasons. First of all, it's more than one, and second of all, it's called the Karen, it's not called the Shofar. Rabbi Yossi, Amar Lachman, Rabbi Yossi could respond to both Tainas. The Kamer Shofar, Acharam Rachman, V'loshayim, Shlosh Shofaros, Kivin the Mechabri Adad, Ichadu. Rabbi Yossi would say, yeah, it may look like two or three Shofaros because it grows in layers, but really it's one Shofar, it's all connected, so it's one Shofar. With Kamer Neshu Karen, Mipneshu Karen, and the other thing you're worried about, that it's called the Karen, Kol Shofaros Nami Yikru Karen. All shofaros are called a Karen, and therefore he's not bothered by that either. But that's the machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi. Now, parenthetically, the Gemara says, "My mashmada yovel lishna didichrahu." How do you know that the word yovel means a ram? So this is going to be the first of 12 different words that the Gemara is going to find what the translation of the words are. Detanya, we have a brisa. Amr Rabbi Akiva, kishalachti la aravia. Rabbi Akiva says, when I went to visit Arabia, hayukarun ledachra yovla. They would call a ram a Yovel. V'omer Rabbi Akiva, kishalachti legalia, second thing that he learned, when he went to Galia, hayikar l'nida galmuda. They called a nida a galmuda. My galmuda, what does the word galmuda mean? Gemula da mi ba'ala. That this woman is separated from her husband. Because she's a nida, she can't be with her husband. V'omer Rabbi Akiva, third type of word that Rabbi Akiva learned, kishalachti l'afriki, when I went to Afriki, hayikar l'ma'a ksita. They called a ma'a, the small coin, called a ma, they called it a ksita. L'maynaf kamina, l'frushe mea ksita da'araisa mea danki, in order to be able to translate the pasuk, when the pasuk says mea ksita, when it talks about Yaakov buying a field by Shechem, that so it says b'mea ksita, he bought it with mea ksita. So we should know what kind of coin it was, so it was mea danki. So Amar Rabbi, a fourth translation of word, kashalachti the krach ayam, when I went but across the ocean, hayukarin lemechira kira. They call the sail a kira. Lemaynaf kamina lefrushe asher karisili. So that we should know how to touch the pasuk asher karisili. That we should know that it means that he sold to me. Amar Rabbi Shimon Lakish, a fifth translation. Kishalachti l'tchum kaneshariya hayukarin lekala ninfi. They would call a kala a ninfi. And a sixth translation l'tarnagol sechvi. They would call a tarnagol sechvi. Lekala ninfi mikra. What's the pasuk where we see that? That a kala is called Ninfi Yifei Nof Mesos Kala Aret, that kala is the most beautiful. So Tarnagol Sechvi Amr Avidam Ravi by Yisem Rav Shum Levi Maikra Mishas Betochos Chachma Umi Nasan Lesechvi Vina. So Mishas Betochos Chachma Elu Klayos, that the smooth ones give Chachma, that's a reference to the kidneys. Umi Nasan Lesechvi Vina, that's a Tarnagol, that's a reference to a Tarnagol. So you see that a Sechvi is called a Tarnagol. It has the Bina to be Mavchin between Yom and Laila, when it crows. Levi Iklalu Asra, Levi went to a certain place, Asa Gavr L'Kameh, and a certain person came to him, Amr Leh, and the person said to him, Kavan Planya, started yelling, this guy was Kavan, this guy, Kavani, he did something to me. But lo aviyada my kamale, Levi didn't know, he wasn't familiar with the terminology. He didn't know what kavan meant. So asa shal b'midrash, he went to the Beis Medrash, says, what does kavan mean? So amrulei gazlan amalach, he was saying that someone robbed him. The chsiv, hayikva adam lelukim. And it's a pasuk, it says, hayikva adam lelukim. Do you think man can rob God? So you see that the word means robbing. So that's what the guy was complaining, that someone had robbed him. So amrulei rava mi barnish l'ravashi. Rava mi barnish said to Ravashi, if I was Levi and I was put in that situation where someone came with an accusation of kavabi or something like that and I didn't know what the word meant, so I would have asked questions that would have made it obvious what it meant. I would have havaminale, hechi kavacha, v'mai kavacha, v'amai kavacha. I would have asked some follow-up questions. I would have said, well, how did he do it? How did he do this kava to you? With what did he do it? Why did he do it? And then from those answers to those questions, I would have been able to figure out, I would have been able to deduce on my own what it meant. Why didn't Levi think of that? I would have figured out what the word means. The Levi thought of that, but he thought he thought it might have been something that he didn't want the answers to. He thought it might have been something about Arayos, and he wasn't so interested in details of Arayos if that's what it was. So he didn't want to ask questions, because when you ask questions and you don't already know the answers, so the answers might be something you don't want to hear. So that's something he didn't want to. He wasn't interested in doing. The Rashash raises the question: if this is the type of a pasuk, Hayikva Adam Elokim, how could Levi not know? How could he not know that that's the he didn't know the translation of the pasuk? So there are two approaches taken by Achronim. Sifsei Chum says he knew in Lashon HaKodesh what it meant, he just never heard it being used in normal conversation, and that's what he was unaware of. And the Beis Medrash, they said, yeah, that works its way from Lashon HaKodesh into normal conversation. Others answer based on the Gemara in Yevamos and Yerushalmi that Levi, when they gave him a kavod gadol, he was gavah rucho and Nelmenu Halachos, that he had a moment of gaiva, and because of that moment of gaiva, he lost several halachos. So it could be that he forgot taich in the pasuk as well. He forgot how to translate the pasuk because of that gevalev, because of that sense of gaiva. Torah only works with nivus, as all the children just learned in school, the way the Torah was given in Har Sinai. It only works with anivus; it doesn't work with gaiva. Lo v'yadi Rabbanu mai serugin. Rabbanu didn't know what the word serugin meant. Shemuel amsa de berabbi dechazasinu Rabbanu davu ayli. Piski. They heard that the Amstel Dibei Rebbe, as the Rabbanim were showing up in small groups at a time, not all at once, Amalu, she said, Serugin, Serugin. How long are you guys going to keep coming in? Serugin, Serugin. So they understood that Serugin meant to skip, you know, a little bit at a time, and not coming in one large group. The Seder Adoros suggests, quotes from the Kisvei Arizal, that everything we learn from the Amstel Dibei Rebbe, from the various maids in Rebbe's house, is all because they were a Gilgal from the Shvachos of Rasa Shivchal Hayam, Mashallah Rei Yecheskel Ben Huzi Ben Nevuasav. That's the Amstel Dibei Rebbe. That's a Gilgal of the Shvachos that had the Nevuah at Kriyas Yamsuf. Okay. Lav Yadir Rabbanim Mai Chalug Logos. Rabbanim didn't know what Chalug Logos meant. Yom Echad Shemuel Amstel Dibei Rebbe Dechazes Lahu Gavra Dekamavader Paprechinei. So they see the Amstel Dibei Rebbe saw a guy that was scattering some herbs around. Armlei Armasa Atam Fazer Chalug Logecha, and she used that term, so understood it meant herbs. Lovi Ad Rabbanim my Silsa Trom Mecca. The Rabbanim didn't know what Silsa Vatrom Mecca meant. It's about Torah, the Silsa Trom Mecca, something about the beauty of Torah. So Yomachat Shemuel Amstel Dibei Rebbe Davis Amr Lehu Gavra Davis Kamahapich Basarei Armlei Armasa Atam Salsal Basarecha. The Amstel Dibei Rebbe saw someone curling his hair, and she said, how long are you be curling your hair for? So that's what it teaches us about Torah, that you turn it over and you turn it over and you analyze from this perspective, from that perspective, and you'll always find something new in Torah. That's what it's about Torah. A lot of Shavuos connections in today's daf. They didn't know what the pasuk meant. So Yom Echad Shemuel Amstel Dibei Rebbe Davis Amar Lechavirta Shkuli Tatisa V'Tati Beisa. They heard her say, go take the broom and sweep the house. So they understood what it meant. Lo V'Yad Rabbanon Maya Shleicha L'Shem Yahavcha V'Uichal Kalecha. What's Yahavcha? So Amar Rabba Bar Brachana, Yom Echad Azilna Bahadei Ahut Haya Hava Darina Tuna. I was going with a merchant and he was carrying a burden. V'Amali Shkol Yehivcha V'Shadei Gamlai. I was carrying a burden. He told me to take the burden and throw it on the gamel. So you see that it means a burden. Good. New Mishnah. Shofar Shor Hashanah Shal Ya'il Pashut Upiv Mitzup Azav. The Shofar Shor Hashanah should be a straight shofar and it should have a little gold by the mouthpiece. V'Shtei Chatzotzros Min Astadin, and you have two Chatzotzros on the side. Now Rashi Rashi says this is in the Shofar Shal Migdash. This is not outside of the Migdash, where you have accompanying Chatzotzos. Shofar Marich v'Chatzotzos Mekatzos Shemitzah Yom B'Shofar. They blow longer blasts with the Shofar than they do with the Chatzotzos, because the primary Mitzah Yom is with the Shofar. U'betainios, but on fast days, B'Shal Zecharim K'fufin, they use bent shofros of Zecharim, upir mitzufa kesef, and there's silver by the mouthpiece, v'shtei chatzotzros be'emtza, and you have two shofros on the two sides, two chatzotzros in the middle. Shofar mekatzer v'chatzotzros ma'arichos mitzvayom v'chatzotzros. Now on fast days, the chatzotzros blow the longer blast, because that's the primary mitzvayom. Shavei yovel rashonel tkiya lebrachos. The yovel, the Yom Kippur of Yovel, is just like Roshon in terms of the tkiya and the brachos that we make. Rav Yehuda omer Roshon atokin b'shal Zecharim. Then on Rosh Hashanah we use Zecharim, the shofar of Zachar, and Yovlos we use Ye'elim. Amar Rabbi Levi, mitzvah shal Rosh Hashanah v'shal Yom Kippur v'kufufin v'shal kol Rosh Hashanah k'pshutin. Rabbi Levi says, no, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur we use a bent shofar. The rest of the year, on Tainios, we use a straight shofar. V'atanan shofar shal Rosh Hashanah shal Yal Pashut, but it says in our mission we use a straight shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Hudamar ki Tana, Rabbi Levi is assuming like the following Tana. Detani, Rabbi Dom Rosh Hashanah, Yotokim shal Zecharim k'fufin v'yovlos v'shal Ye'elim. Then Rosh Hashanah we use shel zecharim kfufin. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with our Mishnah. So that's what Levi's passing like. So let him just say straight that Allah zek Rabbi Yehuda. Well, then I would have thought that by Yovel also Yovel's choose a ben shofar. Kamash man. That's why he's telling me not by Yovel, only by Rosh Hashanah. But my kamifli, what's the machlokas really about? Marsav Rosh Hashanah kamed the kaya finished daite tfei mali ubiyam akfurim hakipurim kamed the pash finished daite tfei mali. The shofar is supposed to represent our emotion of the day. So the understanding is that we're supposed to be bent over, hunched over in submission on Rosh Hashanah, whereas by Yom Kippur it should be with a sense of confidence that we're trumpeting something. And the other opinion says, no, then Rosh Hashanah should be with confidence. Just like we dress up in nice clothing, like we're confident that we're going to win the court case. And on fast days, the more we're kafuf, the more we're in a submissive pose, the better it is. But that's what the machlok is about. Obviously, halacha, we use a bent shofar for Rosh Hashanah.